Please take the Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 13. And I would rather sit down and stand to the word of God, I'll be reading verses 10 through 21. Luke chapter 13. As he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, a woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for over 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out for her, "Woman, you are free of your disability." Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was restored and began to glorify God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded by telling the crowd, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Therefore, come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrites, doesn't each one of you untie his ox or donkey from the feeding trough on the Sabbath and lead it to water? Satan has bound this woman, a daughter of Abraham, for 18 years. Shouldn't she be untied from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said these things, all his adversaries were humiliated, but the whole crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things he was doing. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and what can I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky nested in its branches." Again, he said, "What can I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like leaven that a woman took and mixed with 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened." Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 13, and we looked at how people were coming and talking to Jesus about some catastrophes that had happened in Galilee and in Jerusalem. And previously in chapter 12, he had talked about judgment is coming. And the first group that were talking to Jesus about were the Galileans, who had been offering their sacrifices to God, and Pilate, the Roman governor, had been filled and Jesus said, "Are these people who are worshiping, offering sacrifices, worse sinners than others?" You might say something like, if you heard in the news that someone came in and started shooting up a church, would you say that God was bringing judgment on that church? No. But that's a situation that Jesus was talking about with the Galileans. They were worshiping God, and disaster came upon them. And then Jesus brought another example. What about those people walking along the road in Jerusalem, and the tower fell on them just as they were walking down the road? Towers fell on them. Were they worse sinners? Was God just waiting till these bad sinners came and dropped the building on them? No. And Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish." Reminding us, every one of us will perish. Every one of us will die, but if we repent, our perishing from this life does not make us perish from eternity with God prepared for us in heaven. We need to repent. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Jesus gave the parable of the fig tree, and he talked about the fig tree. A man who owned a vineyard planted a fig tree, And he came to it for 3 years, and it didn't produce anything. He told the gardener to cut it down. Now, fig trees don't produce figs the first year. Rarely do they produce the second year, it's usually the third year they start producing. So it was time the figs to start cutting out the tree. And the vineyard owner was told by the gardener, let's give it one more year. I'll fertilize it, I'll dig around it, try it on the grow. If it doesn't, after that year, then cut it down. Jesus was there. Israel is often referred to as the olive tree. And Jesus was there showing them the truth that he was the Messiah and that change needed to happen. But they weren't showing fruit in keeping with repentance. But Jesus was saying through his parable, they have another chance. They have a chance to repent. And that leads us to today's passage. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus often went to the synagogues to teach. He often taught anywhere he was. The synagogue leader, who we'll see a little bit later, didn't have any problem with Jesus teaching. It's just when he wanted to put action to his teaching that the synagogue leader had a little bit of trouble. It's like one person said, they don't, the world likes Christianity until it gets biblical, where we start applying our Christianity to the world. As long as you keep it to yourself, it's okay. As long as it's just words, it's fine. Don't let it be actions. But Jesus took his teaching and began putting action to it. There was a woman in the synagogue, and he called out to the woman. And he called out to her, and she was healed. Now, let me give you an example that might be like, what if somebody suddenly called somebody out, touched them, and said, you can now fly? That person lifted off the ground and started flying around like Superman. Didn't have a suit like Iron Man, just fly. Everybody went, wow. That's the equivalent. This woman for 18 years had been crippled. And suddenly, she can stand up straight. She has been healed in front of everyone's eyes. And the synagogue leader, he becomes indignant, mad at the situation. And then he turns to the crowd. Basically, he's saying, Jesus is wrong. If you want to be healed, you come one of the other days of the week, but not on the Sabbath day. Basically, I make the rules here, and Jesus broke my rules, and the rules that most of the people that run synagogues have, the Sabbath day is a day where you don't do anything, and there was a huge stack of rules you had to keep. Jesus talked about this back up to chapter 11 in Luke, in verse 46. Jesus is talking about how the religious leaders were not helping and not truly applying scripture at the temple. Then he said, woe to you, woe also to you, experts of the law. You load people with burdens that are hard to carry, and yet you yourself don't touch the burden with one of your fingers. At the time of Jesus, the Sabbath day was the most exhausting day because you had so many rules you had to keep. All these burdens that they had put on people. Jesus, however, you look at Matthew chapter 11, talked about how he had come to free people of the burden they had been given. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and give you your rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus came to free people of burden. There was a burden of trying to earn your salvation through keeping a set of legalistic rules. And Jesus came to free the people from that burden that had them spiritually bent over, like that woman was physically bent over, trying to carry the burden of the law, which is impossible for us to do. It is impossible for us to be right with God by keeping all the rules. Jesus came to bring a new way, just as he gave healing to the woman and freed her from the burden. He was giving freedom to all. Jesus, when the religious leader was criticizing him, said, "You're a hypocrite." And the Greek word for hypocrite is the same word they use for actors. Also means a mask wearer. At that time in the theater, you would wear a mask to portray the character that you were playing. And you might even see it in some of the images still today that they use to talk about actors. It's two masks, one happy mask and a sad mask. And that goes back to time Greek and Roman plays where the actors would wear a mask to praise someone else. And Jesus said, "You're a hypocrite. On a Sabbath day, don't you take your ox or your donkey and untie it and lead it to water?" This woman is worth more than an animal. She is a daughter of Abraham, and Satan has had her bound for 18 years. If you untie an animal on the Sabbath day, shouldn't this woman be untied from the burden that she has? And then what happened? It said Jesus' adversaries were humiliated. They were humbled, but they let it make them mad. Now, why were they humiliated? Because they had set themselves above God. But instead of being humble and letting that humiliation bring them to a point they admit they're wrong, they looked all the more at how they could be an enemy of Jesus. They wanted the crowd to follow them and not God's Messiah. But the whole crowd rejoiced, just as the woman did when she was healed. She gave praise to God. The crowd rejoiced. It says that all the glorious things that Jesus was doing. And then Jesus gives two parables. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. There's two ways these can be applied. First, in a good way, and second, in a bad way. In a good way, the mustard seed is a very, very small seed. And you plant it in the garden, and it can grow in one season 12 or 15 foot tall. Something small grows into something big. Talking about the truth of Jesus, the way of salvation, the kingdom of God, to grow from something small to something big. We see all around the world today Christians in every part of the world. It can be also negative. You take some false teaching, and it can grow very big too, leading people away. The leaven is the yeast that you put into flour, and when it contacts the flour, it makes it rise, grow. The positive way, just from the internal, is that the truth of God will spread everywhere it touches. The negative way can be seen is lies can spread everywhere it may touch. When Jesus says, "What is the kingdom of God like?" as he starts these parables, it's like it's more of a positive interpretation. The kingdom of God starts small. Started with God coming 12 men into Israel. It spread from Jerusalem to the entire world. Yes. And God's truth permeates every area of our life. We need to understand the kingdom of God is not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to stay in one place. It's meant to grow. And we should not be like that synagogue leader telling God that we make the rules, but God doesn't. God is the one who makes the rules. Have you ever played games with young children? Sometimes they'll try to change the rules. Like, I play a game of Uno with some of the children that are they're waiting for their bus. And some of them will want to change the way that the Uno game is played because it helps them think. Well, the person that made the human makes rules, not us. Not that life is a game. But God makes the rules of how we can fight with him. How we get to heaven. And God doesn't change the rules just because we come to his strength. God is the one who makes the rules. We get to heaven physically. Jesus came to free us from the burdens of man's faith, to bring us to a true understanding of how we can go to God. We need to share that with the same thing for our children. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time to be here, to listen to your word, to see how it applies to our lives. Let us share with others how they can be ready to face you. Let us cast off the burdens that we have put on and take your yoke and follow you. You are the one that makes them.